certainly appreciate the elders inviting me to speak tonight. Always considered a great honor to be able to come and say something in God's Word. Before I begin the lesson, though, some asked a question about several of the students you didn't notice this morning. Every Sunday we have about, this morning we had six or seven different students preaching at the different congregations around. I also had Gary Kelsey, he was preaching some word. Dale Tanner was preaching at Clinton. So we have all of our students and members preaching different places each Sunday morning, and we're thankful for that. And so I want you to know why they're not here many times, because they're preaching somewhere else. The lesson tonight, I realize my tremendous responsibility in talking about a successful marriage. I want to say that I base it on 57 years of preaching, a careful study of the Word of God, counseling I've had with people and the marriage problems through the years, mistakes I've made in my own marriage through the years, and other things on that basis then, hope I'll be able to say some things tonight that will be helpful in making marriage so successful. The late Thomas Warren once said that a happy marriage is the next thing to heaven on earth. An unhappy marriage is the next thing to hell on earth. When you think about marriage, you recognize that when you look at it from this standpoint, both have a part in it. That is, both the husband and the wife. They must work as a team in order to get the job done. So this is what we're talking about. And also, the husband, there's some things the husband can do, and there's the things the wife can do. I want to look at what the husband first. Somebody said, talk about the wife first. I said, well, I'm going to do the husband first, and then talk about the wives. When you think about the husband and wife in regard to the work they've done, that they should have trust in each other. But the husband also can continue to fan the flames in some things the husband can do. For example, there may be some grounds for the complaint that the counselors often hear. Once you get married, they take you for granted. That, of course, may happen sometimes. I hope not too often. Also, husbands need to remember the little courtships, courtesies of courtship days. For example, walk around sometime and open the car door for your husband, for your wife, and it'll probably shake her, but shock her a lot, but nevertheless do it. Other courtesies you can remember, and that is also remember birthdays and anniversaries. Those things you don't want to overlook. Another thing is surprise your wife occasionally by taking her out to eat a meal or give her some flowers with no special purpose in mind. And also tell your wife occasionally that you love her. My wife tells me 40 times a day. That's me. But what I'm saying is, sometimes we get like Mary and John. John was reading the newspaper, and Mary all of a sudden said, John, you never tell me you love me. That reason, leaking away from the newspaper, said, Mary, I told you I love you when I married you. If I ever change mind, I'll let you know. Well, sometimes that's the way it is. Also, another thing is, spend time with your wife. You spent time with her before you married her. Spend some time with her after, since you married. Thomas Carlyle married his secretary, and she continued to work with him many years in prolific writing that he did. She finally had cancer. It was a slow-growing growth, but he spent little time with her during all these periods of time. Finally, the end came. It was a cold, rainy day. Mud was deep when she was buried. He came back to the house, visibly shaken. He walked up the stairs, sat down on the bed where she died. He began to read her diary. On the first page, it said, he spent an hour with me yesterday. It was like heaven. I love him very much. On the second page, he read, I've listened all day for steps on the stairs. It's getting late. I guess he's not coming tonight. He read a few more pages. He threw the book down, and his friends found him in the mud at the graveside, murmuring over and over again, if I'd only known, if I'd only known. Now you know that you need to spend time with your wife. And when the end comes, where that might be, don't say, I wish I'd known, because you do know. A husband needs to spend time with his wife as opportunity presents itself. Also, you need to show appreciation for the things your wife does. It's all right occasionally if she cooks a good meal to special appreciation for the good meal she cooked. You say it's a little thing, but it means so much. Also, it's a good occasion to tell her that her hair looks good. Maybe the dress she's wearing looks good. Somehow one person, I said that one time, said those are insignificant things. They may be, but not to a woman. So keep those things in mind that when you think about all this, compliment your wife when you can. And more times than many keys that comes about. Also, husbands can stop complaining so much. In listening to counselors, one complaint you often get is, my husband's always complaining, nothing's ever right. Hope that's not true with you, but sometimes it is. In other words, quit grumbling and grow up. One sign of maturity on the part of an individual, whether it be a husband or wife, is to be able to deal with these things, react to them in the right way, without grabbing and complaining about them all the time. This, of course, is important. Also, another thing to keep in mind is, and that is, you can be a good leader. I've heard many counselors say that one complaint I often get is, from a wife is, my husband won't take the lead. He leaves the decisions up to me. Remember the text I read a moment ago, husbands love your wives, even Christ the Lord of the church, and then he pointed out, he's head of the wife, even as Christ head of the church. It's God's will that the husband be head of the house and that he makes decisions. Now, it doesn't mean the wife won't make decisions. It doesn't mean that he won't consider her and get her advice on things and so forth, but he needs to make decisions. And if wife leaves, you see, sometimes a husband will not make decisions and place the wife in a position that God never intended. And so learn to make decisions and do not leave all the decisions to your husband. You see, God designed the man to be head of the house. Also, another thing is, the wife needs the strength of the husband. You know, 1 Peter 3:7 talks about the wife being the weaker vessel. Now, that's not mentally or emotionally, but necessarily, but also from the physical standpoint. So he advised the fact that the husband gives a good advice along that line. And then also, you should be interested in the home. Now, I'm well aware of the fact that the wife is queen in the house, but you should be interested in the home and the fact that you help her in any way you possibly can in the home. That's important. Also, you must gain the right conception of marriage. Now, when I talk about the right conception of marriage, I'm talking about the fact a husband must not think of his wife merely as a body to satisfy his lust. She has certain rights, certain responsibilities, certain privileges, and so forth. A husband must address the needs of his wife. And also recognize that another thing in connection with that is, learn the most of difference and psychological difference between men and women. You see, there's a difference between men and women. And I think we'd recognize that to be true. But here's another thing is, when you think about that from this standpoint, women as a rule appreciate fine things, simple things, more than men do. You need to recognize that. Those little things mean. So also another thing, the feelings and responses of woman are different than those of man. Need to recognize the fact that from the standpoint that many times a man's emotions or feelings are aroused by a look. That's not necessarily true of a woman. The courtship, the courtesy that's applied, that is important. Because that's the way a woman responds to the physical needs. And also to recognize this. A husband needs to make it clear to his wife that he needs her. A woman needs to feel that her husband needs her very much. When a man advertises the fact, I don't need my wife, then you're advertising the fact you're abnormal and don't need to be married in the first place. Because your wife does need you. And you need your wife. God recognized in Genesis 2 and verse 18, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. That is a companion for man. And one that meets his needs. And man meets the need of woman. So it's important that that be recognized in regard to the husband. And also the husband should not burden the wives with their business and so forth. That doesn't mean that she's not interested. In fact, some husbands and wives work together on things like this. But also constantly burdening her with the things that are taking place, which you may not be able to help at all. And that doesn't mean she's not interested in all that. So all these are some things that you need to recognize your husbands had responsibility to their wife. But now let's talk about the wife a minute. First, the wife should let her husband continue to court her, encourage him. Notice, if he wants to court you, let him do so. If he wants to bring flowers and give them to you, let him do so. If he wants to speak words of comfort to you, let him do so. And also, make the house an attractive place. No husband likes to come home to a house that looks like a tornado struck it. So try to make an attractive place as much as possible. Now, that doesn't mean that it won't be times that those things will not be true, but try to make it as much as possible. Also, a wife can tell her husband that you love him. Don't take it for granted. Just like the husband don't take your wife for granted. Tell her that you love her occasionally. Let her know. And also, when she says, I love you, don't say ditto and I feel the same. That's not the same in saying I love you. This, of course, happens sometimes. So then you keep that in mind. Wives can identify themselves with the lives of their husband. That is, for the sense that he knows that you care about what he's doing. He knows you're interested in what he's doing. And so you identify in that sense. And so he knows that you're there when you need him to encourage him and help him in every way you possibly can. And also a wife needs to be sure the husband can be sure of her. You see, a woman that thinks she can gain her husband and strengthen the relationship between her husband by flirting with other women or other men is making a terrible mistake. So you need to be sure of one another and let that be in your marriage relationship. Also, another thing to keep in mind in the regard to the wives must have the true conception of marriage. Some wives have a wrong conception of marriage because of the background, the teaching that they've had through their life. Let me mention something for 1 Corinthians 7. Paul said in this case, now concerning the things where we wrote in the mid, good for man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every woman, man have his own wife, let a woman have her own husband. Let the husband render the wife due and evidence, and likewise so does the wife and the husband. Defraud ye not one the other, except if you consent, you may come together again and necessitate your incontinence. Now, in this particular case, in the first six chapters of this book, Paul was answering some questions that Chloe had reported about what was taking place at Corinth. Beginning in chapter 7, he said, now concerning the things you wrote, the questions you asked me about. The 1 Corinthians 7 deals with several different questions that the Corinthians had asked Paul about marriage. He deals with the first question in verse 1. It's good for man not to touch a woman. Now, in this particular case, he's talking about touching outside of marriage. He's talking about fornication. That's what he's emphasizing. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, let a woman have her own husband. So he's talking about the sexual relationship in the marriage is pleasing to God. It's right in the sight of God. It's good relationship in the sight of God. And so to avoid that outside. But also he said, in this particular case, he's often that the husband, once you marry, your body belongs to your wife. Wife, once you marry, your body belongs to your husband. And in that relationship, you have the right to engage in the sexual relationship, the marriage relationship. That's the way it should be. But then he said, defraud not one the other except to be consent for a time and for religious purposes. For example, maybe over a period of time that there's a religious purpose, and so they refrain from engaging in sexual relationship for a period of time. Nothing wrong with that. But don't let it last too long. They should be tempted to do wrong. I believe that there are cases when there's an innocent party and where adultery has been committed. Evidently, the Lord made that true in Matthew 19:9. But I believe there's some cases when there's not an innocent party. For example, suppose that a woman gets mad at her husband. And she says, leave me alone, don't touch me, just stay away from me. That goes on for months. And he's tempted in the meantime and commits adultery. Now, he's not justified in what he did. But in my judgment, there's no innocent party. Brother G.C. Brewer, you're still straight like this. Here's a man who's killed another man. The man who's been killed may be innocent or may not be innocent. If he, for example, the jury tries to decide, if he provoked the other individual, it doesn't justify the man killing him, but he's not an innocent person. So at the same time, sometimes it's true regarding marriage, and people need to recognize the responsibility of one another in regard to husband and wife in regard to that. So this is also another thing is this regarding the wife, should recognize the difference between themselves and their husbands. That is, I simply mean by that, sometimes the husband has a strong desire than the wife has. Well, you learn to adjust to that. And you learn to meet one another's needs and whether there's happiness on the part of both. Also, another thing is, in regard to this, each is willing to forego the other's happiness. But then there's another thing to keep in mind, that is, in regard to relationship, what we keep in mind is that recognizing the differences between the two, they adjust to those and they come to realize them. For example, it surprises me, you just stop to think about it a minute, we know that many marriages end in failure, many men in success. Bob and Laverne is telling me tonight they've been married 59 years. I congratulate her on leaving Bob 59 years. But nevertheless, that's wonderful indeed. What I'm simply saying is that sometimes when you talk about, when you think about, when you married, did you really think much about marriage? I frankly say I didn't. When you became a parent, did you know much about being a parent? You had to adjust and work through those things. It's amazing sometimes all the things you have to work through. Then when a child's born, you have to work through how to raise children. And sometimes some of them just barely survive, don't they? Because you know how. So what I'm saying, this is a part of adjusting through and adjusting marriage itself. So just briefly, what I've tried to point out is some responsibility the husband has, responsibility the wife has. Now, more details in the, if you pick, as you go out, you'll find a complete outline out there as you go out and you pick it up, and more details of what I've said tonight. But I hope this has been helpful in recognizing the importance of a successful marriage. If you're here tonight and haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, and you're convinced that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, ready to repent of your sins, confess your faith before me, and be baptized in the midst of your sins, you can become a child of God tonight. If you need, be restored. Whatever you need is, won't you come while we stand in while we sing?